Hello, I'm Nick Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. I want to thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast today. You know, Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world. And through this weekly broadcast, Cross Church is able to share a time of praise and worship, as well as a time of studying God's Word with people from all walks of life. I want to thank you today again for tuning in, and please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our four regional campuses. Come be a part of our friendly, compassionate family known as Cross Church. So if you would, go to crosschurch.com to learn more about our church, and we hope that you'll join us very soon. Everybody, it is great to have you here at Pinnacle, and we are so excited about what God's going to do in your own heart and life today. I want to welcome everybody watching online. Still a lot of people needing to be safe at home, so we're glad you have joined us as well for this day. It's a great day to be at Pinnacle, a great day to be at church, is it not? It feels always just feels great today, all day long to be here, and we're so glad that you have chosen to be with us. I do want to encourage you to go to the marriage conference next Sunday night. Right here at Pinnacle Hills, we're going to have a fantastic time. Last I checked, earlier this weekend, we had over 800 people already signed up and registered to come, so you sign up as well, and we're going to have a fantastic time together. If you got a Bible, let's grab it. James chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Several weeks ago, we began a new series, really coming out of 2020, coming out of COVID, even though we're still in it, but man, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and we talked about this. When life is scattered, what do? And that's what James has really been all about, pointing us back to the basics of what it looks like to follow Jesus in every facet of our lives. I love the way that we're doing this series. We're just really walking verse by verse, dealing with whatever the Bible deals with. So I'm not picking and choosing what we deal with. If the Bible talks about it here, we talk about it. That's the best way to do preaching. So think about the topics we've already discussed based on what the book of James has already talked about so far. We've dealt with uncertainty in your life. We've talked about trials, showing love to people, being a doer of the word, doing good works that flow from your relationship with Christ, how important the words that we say really are. Remember James chapter 3, the beginning of it was all about your tongue, all about the words that you speak. Today continues in that journey of flowing about the tongue, about your mouth. But today really is going to show us a contrast between what real wisdom looks like and often what naturally flows from us. Now, none of us are born with wisdom, okay? Case in point, if you need an example, look at your children or grandchildren, right? We've all had kids at times who, once they learn to crawl and it's wintertime, you got the fireplace raging. Where do they want to crawl towards? They want to crawl towards the fireplace, stick out their hand. Can't do that. How many of you ever had people over at the house? And all the adults are in the living room or in the kitchen talking, and you hear ba-dum, 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 pff, ah, you know, and a kid who's too small has crawled up the stairs, couldn't handle it, and it came all crashing down. I have a hunch, okay? I'm the father of a preteen boy, and if we at any of our campuses today left a group of preteen boys unattended for the hour that we're in church, bad things would happen. Can I get an amen? Like, there's always that one kid in the group who's like, man, I wonder how many chairs we could stack on top of the table and how many of us could sit in that while we play with the sprinkler thing in there. I wonder what would happen. And before you know it, disaster happens. They all fall down. Chairs are crashing. Sprinklers are on. Church is ruined. It's just devastating, right? If you leave preteen boys unattended. What's the point? You're not born with wisdom. I'm not born with wisdom. Wisdom is taught, wisdom is learned, and most of all, wisdom is learned and received from the Lord. Now, Pastor Andy Stanley wrote a book several years ago called The Best Question Ever. It's a great sermon title, right? Or a book title. Makes you want to read the book and open up, see what it says. He breaks down a passage in the book of Ephesians and says that the best question ever in your life is this: what is the wise thing for me to do? Now, that is a great question in every area of your life, but I got to be honest with you, it's also a pretty annoying question. It'll keep you away from making some purchases that are really fun, but beyond your means. It'll keep you from dating some people that are not up to your standards, even though they're really good looking. It'll keep you from a lot of destructive things in your life, but oftentimes it's pretty hard. The passage we're going to talk about today is all about wisdom. It's all about doing the wise thing. In fact, the title of our message today is just simply that. You got to choose wisdom. If you were a note taker today, I would encourage you to write down the statement I'm about to say. I'll come back to it throughout the message today, and it really is the main point of our message. When life feels scattered, choose the path of wisdom. So when everything in your life feels off, when nothing at the office is as it should be, when everything in your family is not what it once was, when everything personally just feels off, you need to run to wisdom in every area of your life. Now, I want to be clear today. If you walked in here with a major decision that you need to make, James chapter 3 is not like a treasure map where by the end of the sermon today, you're going to be like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's not the point. I believe James chapter 3 is actually much deeper than that. It speaks to attitudes that are wise and attitudes that are destructive. And so without further ado, let's jump right into the passage. Read with me. We left off in verse 12. We'll pick up in verse 13 today. Bible says this, who is wise and understanding among you? By his conduct, let him show his works in the meekness, I would underline that word for you, in the meekness of wisdom. Real wisdom is more than just words. It's more than just talking a good game. It's action here, according to the Bible. It's all about your conduct, and it's all about the way you act. Now, when I was in kindergarten, probably much like when you were in grade school, we would do show and tell at church or at school. Anybody remember show and tell? Classic thing. We have a kindergartner right now who still we do show and tell. Show and tell is all about your teacher gives you an assignment, you know, bring your favorite stuffed animal or bring your favorite food, whatever it is, and you're gonna show the class and you're gonna tell the class something about it. The other day, we were about to walk out of the house and get all the kids in the car. We got four kids, so mornings are crazy. And so the kids are rushing off to school, and we remember it's time for show and tell. Isn't that always when you remember right as you're walking out the door? And the show and tell for that day was you need to pick something that's bad for your teeth and good for your teeth. And so Meredith is rushing the other three into the car, and she's like, show and tell. Something bad, something good. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm grabbing stuff, and we find gum. So, okay, Maya, here you go. Bad for your teeth right here. But we still have it in the house. And then we're trying to search for something good. I'm looking through the pantry like, what is good for your teeth? I don't know what's good for your teeth. And Meredith had bought fruit strips, you know, those like sticky, nasty things that I don't eat. But she buys them. And it was an apricot fruit strip. And I thought, that sounds like a fruit or vegetable. So, well, that Maya, that's good for your teeth. And by the way, when I shared this at Springdale, I got a text from my dentist during the sermon. It was like, not good for your teeth. Like, that's a good dentist right there, texting you during the sermon. And so I didn't know what it was. You know, all of Northwest Arkansas teachers, you laugh at the rest of us because you know we don't care about it. You know we're not thinking about it, and it's the last thing we do right before we get out of the house. Isn't that right, all you teachers out there? I know it is. James here is telling us you got to show and tell your faith. It's not just one. It's not just the other. So in other words, if my little kindergartner Maya came up and she had a stuffed animal and said, hey, and she just showed the stuffed animal but didn't say anything about it, well, that wouldn't be right. Or on the flip side, if she left a stuffed animal at home and just told about it, well, that misses it too. That's exactly what James is saying here. It's not just that you show wisdom in your words, but you show it in your conduct again and again and again. You don't just talk a good game, but you show what it means to really follow Christ in every area of your life. The encouragement here is to show your good works in the meekness of wisdom. Had you underlined that a little bit earlier? What does that actually mean for your life, and how do we practically play that out? Here's what you need to understand. Wisdom here in James chapter 3 is speaking about applying insight to the practical issues of life. So you ever known somebody in your life who's really smart, like really book smart, but when it came to like normal human interaction, not so good, okay? That's kind of what he's talking about here. Somebody who really knows how to apply the word and wisdom of God to the practical everyday issues of their life. And the Bible says we're to show that in the meekness of wisdom. This is pointing towards humility. I'm gonna say a statement here that sounds really simple, but I think it's really deep actually. You cannot be a prideful, wise person. I'm gonna say that to you again. You cannot be a prideful, wise person according to the Bible. Those two things are an oxymoron. They do not go together whatsoever. Humility, according to the Bible, is the pathway to wisdom. And so James is starting us right off the bat here. When everything seems off in your life, when everything seems scattered, you need to run towards humility. And what is the path to humility, or run to wisdom? And what's the path to wisdom? It is the road called humility. Now keep on reading. Verse 14. He says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I would underline those last three words for you right there. Now, this is a real contrast here. He's about to say, you got to run towards wisdom, be a wise person. And he begins the conversation by saying, this is not wisdom. Like, do not do what I'm saying. And what is the way that he describes the opposite of wisdom? He describes it in three phrases, okay? Number one, bitterness. Number two, jealousy, okay? Some translations even put this together, like it's a bitter jealousy, or some divided into two different words. Really the same mindset regardless. It's the idea of carrying resentment towards other people. I can't believe what you did to me. I can't believe that you got that job and I still have this job. I can't believe that happened to your family and it hasn't happened to my family. Get the idea here? It's the idea of being consumed with how you have been wronged. I believe that is true for many, many, many people here at Pinnacle Hills, many who are watching online, is that through various seasons of your life, if you're honest with yourself, there's probably been a period where you say, I was consumed with the wrong that had been done to me. Now, no doubt, in this room, there has been many evil, wicked things that people have done to you, okay? Without a doubt, people are sinful, and we all get hurt by people at different times. So he describes this as bitter jealousy. The third thing he describes is this, selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. This means, above all else, I'm gonna look out for me. I'm going to win no matter the cost, no matter who's in my way. I will be at the top. It's all about me, me, me. Who's at the center of all those things? I am. So think about those three things and how they relate to the individual. Bitterness is what you've done to me or against me. Jealousy, because I want you to like me the most. Jealousy because I don't want you to have something better than me. Selfish ambition, because I need everybody in the world to think highest, highest, highest of me. And I gotta be honest with you. Bitterness, jealousy, selfish ambition all come very naturally to every one of us. So I am very good naturally at being bitter, jealous, and having selfish ambition. You, if you're honest with yourself, you're very good. It comes very naturally. It flows easily to have a bitter heart towards people, to be resentful towards, to be jealous towards people, and have basically, you're looking out for number one all the time. You're looking out for yourself. Bible would call that selfish ambition. I've been wronged and held grudges for years. How about you? Only to suffer the consequences for bearing a weight I was never intended to bear. Some of you, this is the reason why God brought you to church today. What I'm about to say, I believe it is so important for the Christian life. And this goes into every single facet of your life, okay? Here's what it is. Just because it's natural doesn't mean it's right. Now, there are a lot of things that flow very natural to me that aren't right. There's a lot of things that flow very natural to you that aren't right, okay? And the problem with many of our lives, and the reason why many of you sitting here at Pinnacle Hills or watching online, why you never have victory in your Christian life, is because you all the time naturally give in to the impulses that you feel. Amen. And if I feel it, it must be right, it must be good, it must be what I need to do, and so I just go with it. And that always leads to brokenness. It always leads to destruction. Let me illustrate this for you, okay? If I were to follow my natural impulses today after church, okay, if you don't know, if you're unaware, we have Krispy Kreme about a mile from this church, okay? Like literally, you can just go right up here, right around the back, and you'll end up, and they have drive-thru. And glory be to God if the hot sign is on. You know what I'm saying? What's very natural for me, and I'm not lying, is to go and get a dozen chocolate donuts and eat that for lunch. You say, like, eat a dozen chocolate donuts for lunch, right? I couldn't do that. I don't think. I could try it one Sunday, okay? How's that gonna go for me in my life? It's not gonna go well. I'm gonna feel pretty terrible about 2 o'clock, okay? Natural, but not helpful. Natural, but you could probably even say, but not godly, right? You may have a desire to get with somebody who's not your spouse. It's a natural urge, but it's going to end in destruction. We could talk of every area of your life where you naturally have an impulse, you naturally gravitate towards a behavior, you naturally feel like this is right, and just because it's natural doesn't mean that that's what you're supposed to do. They never lead anywhere good. Now here the Bible says you basically have a natural reaction whenever you're wronged by people, or even a natural reaction in the way that you view yourself. Naturally, you're gonna be bitter, you're gonna be jealous, and you're gonna be consumed with lifting yourself up. Listen to me here, especially when things are scattered, especially when life is off, okay? And so let me give you a natural response and then a supernatural response, okay? So a natural response is this: when life is scattered, look out for myself. So in the midst of COVID, that's what many people have done. Forget everybody else. I'm gonna make sure I'm taken care of. I'm buying every roll of toilet paper I could ever find at every Walmart around this town, right? I'm gonna make sure I'm okay in this area or this area. Very natural. Supernatural response is this: when life is scattered, look out for others. And so what is the Bible encouraging us as a people of God, as a church, and as individual Christians to do right now when everything seems off? It's not to focus inward, it's to focus outward. It's to say, man, how can we help other people? And I just gotta be honest with you, the kind of change that we're talking about today is not possible without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. What we're talking about, in essence, is the nature that you have when you're born. When you are born, you're born a sinner. You're not born with wisdom, as we've already discussed, but naturally your nature leads towards things like bitterness and resentment and jealousy and selfish ambition. Like that describes what the Bible calls the flesh. For you to transition to what God is asking you to do in this passage is not done by mere effort. I gotta be honest with you. Like you can't just leave here and say, well, man, that's so true. I need to just try harder. I need to do better. That's not the answer. What is the answer? You need a new nature that only Jesus Christ can give you when you surrender your life to him. Now, we look at these three things as little sins in the church, right? Like we could talk about some big sins today. We'd say murder. We all in agreement on that? Big sin. You could throw out other large sins that we could say. And then we could say, okay, we'll measure that against bitterness and jealousy and selfish ambition. We'd probably say, well, that's a really big sinner over there, and you just need to work on that, right? You know how the Bible describes those three things today in our lives? Bitterness, jealousy, and selfish ambition. It says this: they are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So again, we categorize these things as little sins that don't really matter that much. God says, when you have bitterness in your heart towards somebody else, it's a demonic action. Said in a jolting manner, when you have jealousy towards somebody else, you're following the path of Satan for your life. You say, well, that sounds a little crazy, preacher. So what the Bible's saying right here, when we choose bitterness or jealousy or to seek our own welfare above others, we are not following the path of wisdom. We are following the path that always will lead you down a path of brokenness and disorder in your life. Now, keep on reading. This is where it goes next. Verse 16, it says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. So again, our eyes are awakened to the things that we see are little bitty sins, and God says, no, these things are way more destructive than you could even imagine. We look at the murderer and say, well, golly, they need to get their life right with God. God looks at the person with bitterness in church today, the person with jealousy, or the person who's looking out for number one more than anybody else, and God says, you need a new path. You need to get off that path. You need to get on the path of wisdom. See, here's what the Bible's saying in verse 16. Bitterness, jealousy, and selfish ambition will cause disorder in your life. If I were to bring you up one by one and say, hey, would you like to have a life of disorder? Like, nobody in the room would say, you know what? That's what I've been looking for. Life of disorder, life of, you know, everything's ruined, right? Not one person in this room would choose that. And yet the Bible says, we try to hold on to things like bitterness, jealousy, selfish ambition. Those are often our attempt to keep control. You wronged me, so you're gonna pay. And I'm gonna build up a mountain high of a wall of resentment and anger and all that stuff against you. You don't even know I'm mad at you, but I know I'm mad at you, and that's enough because you're gonna pay for your sins. You know what I'm saying here, church? And it is often our way of trying to hold on to the pain, of trying to hold on to control. And here's what the Bible is actually telling us today. The more that you try to grab onto those things and take control of the situation, that single action actually leads to you losing complete control. You are actually walking into and choosing disorder and disruption in your life. So I wonder who God's speaking to today about some bitterness you got towards somebody else. I wonder who God is speaking about jealousy, or maybe just the fact that you've had yourself number one at the forefront of every single decision in your life. Think about what James is saying. Humility leads to wisdom. All these other things, they lead to disorder, they lead to disruption in every facet of your life. When life feels scattered, don't go towards those other things. Choose the path of wisdom. And part of that path to wisdom is not letting the pain that's happened to you in your life become foremost in your life. This is not me denying the various amounts of extreme pain that have happened in this room. We would cry together if we heard everything that has ever happened to every person in this room and the way that you've been sinned against, wronged, and hurt in so many ways. But here's what I believe God is saying to our hearts today. As a follower of Jesus, those things do not define us. Those things are not our identity, but Jesus Christ is our new identity. And a life that flows from that relationship with him will flow into other things. It'll flow into a life of wisdom, not into jealousy, not into bitterness, not into selfish ambition. So what is real wisdom? He started out by saying, listen, these things are not wisdom. So don't go this direction. Don't go the path of bitterness and jealousy and selfish ambition, but what actually is the path of wisdom? That's what he deals with in verse 17. He says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So he mentions three things that wisdom is not, then he mentions seven things that are. If you're a note taker, write these quick. I'm going to flow through these very quickly. He says, first of all, the path to wisdom is pure. You want to be a wise person? Choose purity in your life. Choose holiness in your life. He gives a second way. He says, you need to be peaceable. Some translations actually translate this peace-loving. Do I love peace or do I love to fight? That's a real question for our hearts today. Do I love peace or do I love to fight? The third way he describes this path to wisdom, he says, is gentle. It's a totally underrated characteristic of Christ's likeness, a person who is gentle. This carries the idea of forbearance. I am forbearing with somebody else when they make a mistake. I'm showing them love and grace and mercy instead of lashing out in a reaction that is ultimately sinful. I'm a gentle person. Fourth is open to reason. Man, that would have been a good one for all of America the last, you know, several years, right? Just open to reason together. Think about the idea. It's giving the idea an impression here of submissiveness, of submissiveness. Do you always have to have your way? Do other people always have to bow under your idea, under your will? So, case in point, when you leave here in just a few minutes and it's time for your family to decide where to go to lunch, and World War III breaks out in the car, can you go along with somebody else's idea? Can you go along with the flow of somebody? Can you be open to reason and submissive to somebody else's idea? He goes on. Fifth thing, he says that you are full of mercy and good fruits. It means that you show genuine concern for people, real concern who are in a tough spot. You're not judgmental, but caring. This leads right into the next thing. Number six, we've already actually dealt with in the book of James. He says that the path to wisdom is impartial, that we love people with impartiality. He brings it back up here. We treat all people with love and grace and dignity. No matter who they are, no matter where they've come from, no matter what sin they're struggling with, that's the call of God for our lives. And then he gives a seventh one, and he calls it just sincerity. You need to be sincere. It's the idea of not being a hypocrite. It's the idea that you are genuine in all that you do. You're not acting in a certain way to get something from somebody else. We've all experienced that before. And so look at these seven. Here's what the Bible's saying. You want to be a wise person, that's what you devote your life to. I mean, you want to do what God is asking you to do. You want to be not a person who's wrapped up in the bad things that we talked about, but if you want to be a person that is a wise person, you walk in those things right there. In some ways, I feel like the Bible is saying this. When the Bible says these seven things, it's as if God is just telling us, hey, just chill out and trust me. That's what it means. And I got to tell you, if there's anything that's anti-2021, it's that mindset right there. Everybody's offended about everything. Everybody's mad about something. If you don't think somebody's mad right now, pull out your phone, flip on social media. Somebody's mad somewhere about something, okay? The Bible's saying, but we are different. We don't choose that kind of path. We choose this kind of path here together. Amen. So we're going to put both lists up here. Let's throw these up on the screen right now. And you've got the three bad things, the very natural things that happen in our lives, bitterness, jealousy, selfish ambition. So which side of the line are you on right now? Like if you're just honest in your heart of hearts today, is your life defined by this side or by this side? And you can guess which side God is calling all of us to get to. God's calling us over to this side of the line in that. Think about this, and these things really do relate to every single area of your life. But let me just point out one simple thing. I just mentioned it a second ago. Just think about this in your use of social media, okay? I really think we need to do like a series on social media because it dominates the day. And I deleted all my social media accounts in the last 12 to 18 months. It's one of the best decisions I made in the last 5 years. It's helped me be way more on this side than on this side. You know what I'm saying? And but think about your own use of social media. I don't care if you have social media or not, but I do care how you use it. Are you bitter towards what you see on somebody else's feed? Are you jealous over what you saw on their Instagram account? And so you think of something in your own life, or you actually go and do something just for the sake of, you know, selfieing it up and just so that people will push a button to like you, to make you feel better about yourself. Anybody see where the unhealthiness lies in all this? And that's just one simple area of your life. These things flow into every facet, every relationship, at the office tomorrow, at school tomorrow, whatever season of life you are in. These things lead you towards wisdom. These things lead you toward disorder. Like, it is so clear from the Word of God today what God wants from us. Let's wrap this up. Look at verse 18, and we'll be done. James says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, remember what we said. First half of James chapter 3, what was it all about? It was all about the tongue, all about the words that you speak. Really, if we just kind of flow the idea, in many of the ways, all that we're talking about today, how's that expressed? Through our words, through our speech. So all of James chapter 3 is about the words that you say. And it's almost as if James just summed up the entire chapter by giving us this last phrase here in verse 18. And here's what it is. You want to live a righteous life? If that's the question for the day, do you want to live a righteous life, Christian? Do you want to be who God wants you to be? He says, so words that bring peace. Again, that is so anti the culture we live in today. It's so anti 2021, and yet God has called us to be his people, to be above the culture, to be above the situation, to be above the surroundings that we're in right now. And when light feels scattered, we follow the path of wisdom. We choose wisdom. And so no doubt in my mind, there are many here today who, if you're honest with yourself, as a follower of Christ, you're like, man, I am flowing in some things that I don't need to be flowing in. And I've got some things in my life that are not wisdom, that are not peace-loving, are just bad. Can we put the two lists back up here for a second? And if you're honest with yourself, you just think, man, I'm tending way more towards one end of the spectrum that I don't need to be on than the other end of the spectrum. And so, what is it in your life that God is encouraging you to do today? I really do, and I say this because I have great confidence in the Spirit of God, that God's already speaking to you about something in your life that you need to get right with him. Amen. Just happens. Amen. And what is that thing in your life right now? Could it be that it is some bitterness in your life that it's time to get rid of that? Like, it's just time today to forgive. Like, right there in the seat that you're sitting in or the home you're sitting in right there, what if you just release somebody from the penalty of the pain that they've caused you? They don't even know it. But forgiveness is not so much for the other person as it is for you. So can you forgive them today? What about jealousy? Has God convicted you of that today? What about just selfish ambition? It's always about me. In every situation, I just feel like I gotta dominate everybody else. I've got to win. You know, that's not the way of Christ. In what ways these seven over here is God encouraging you towards? Man, you've not been so great at that. Here's the encouraging thing about the Lord, and I don't even understand how this happens, how it works. But the incredible thing about God is that every time you come to him in repentance, he always welcomes you back. It's just fascinating. And every time you say, Lord, I've been so resentful of that person because of what she did to me, because of what he did. He just stabbed me in the back at the office and ruined me. Whenever you come back to the Lord in repentance, whatever it is about, he always welcomes you back. And I don't know what to call it other than just to call it what it is. It's grace. We often see grace as like the door we walk through when we receive Christ. I'm receiving the grace of God. I just got to be honest with you. I think we live in the grace of God. And for the Christian to be able to come back and to hear what's honestly a convicting word from the scriptures today, and to be able to walk up to the Lord today and just say, God, I'm not where I need to be with you. And I've got some of my words are just out of alignment. My attitude is out of alignment. And God, I'm just repenting and just turning back to you. And God says, oh, okay, yeah, come on. Slate wiped clean. Fresh start with the Lord. And like that's available to you right now. It's available to you this afternoon, and that's available to you tomorrow morning. It's available to you at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why? Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you, if you're honest with yourself, you don't know Jesus personally, and you may have known that when you walked in the room, and man, we're so glad that you are here. Others of you say, well, Nick, I'm a church person. I always thought I was a Christian my whole life. But here's what I want you to understand. If your life is defined by these things and not by these things, I think it's just another one of those things James has just laid out throughout the book. He says, hey, if this is true of your life, you better just check yourself. Do you really know the Lord Jesus personally? And so could it be that in your own life, God has just awakened you to the reality, man, you don't know Christ. And today's a day to once and for all make yourself right with the Lord. And as I said earlier, this doesn't happen through just improved morality. Like the worst thing that you could do today is to walk away thinking, well, I gotta really improve I got to try to clean myself up. That's not the way of the Bible. The way of the Bible is this: you come exactly as you are right now in this moment, humbly before the Lord. Choose the path of wisdom. And it's Jesus that makes us at peace with God, not our own activity. So church, can we pray right now? Heads bowed and eyes closed all over this room. If you're online, you hang with us as well. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you know God's convicted you of some attitudes, some words in your life that you need to make right with the Lord. If you know God's calling you to repentance in some area of your life, would you just come back to Him right now? Would you just come back into alignment with where God wants you to be? Receive His grace right now. If you're not a follower of Jesus, but today that is your desire, you say, Nick, more than anything, I want to meet Christ today. I know I need a new nature. Would you just pray this in your own heart, just right here to the Lord? Just say something like this: Jesus, today, I confess my sin to you. And I willingly choose to turn away from it. Lord, I need a new nature. And I'm asking you to give it to me. Would you forgive me of my sin? And would you make me brand new right now? In the best way that I know how, I give my life to you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, today, if you just pray to receive Christ, we want to give you a next step, an opportunity to connect with one of us today, one of our church staff. We're going to put up a number on the screen. We've done this for almost a year now during COVID. Gives you an opportunity to connect with us. If that just happened in your life, we want you to text your first and last name to that number, 479-343-8777. And what that's going to do is going to put you in touch with one of our staff members. All we're going to do, we're not coming to your house today, nothing weird, okay? All we're going to do is begin a conversation with you about what it means to follow Jesus. We just want to help you in your next steps with the Lord. So we'll leave this up here on the screen here at Pinnacle Hills through the remainder of our dismissal. You write down this number or type it into your phone right now. Online audience, we love you guys. Thanks for tuning in with us today. And we love y'all. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.